Pray. Father, thank you so much for your precious word and all that it speaks to us and encourages us, Lord. And just pray as we look in more into your word now that we'll hear your voice again as the sound of many waters coming to us, Lord, and speaking across the sometimes turbulent seas of our lives, speaking peace as you draw near. And you say, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Lovely to be with you this morning. Okay, that's for anybody Cambodian in the room, okay. Thank you for your prayers for the conference. We had a great time. And the Lord was among us in a wonderful way. So this morning, I want to speak on God's global outreach. God's global outreach. Okay, and we're going to start in Amos. In Amos. Anybody know what this is? Okay, I'm not hypnotizing you all. It's a plumb line. Okay. Amos 7 and 8. Then he showed me, behold, he is an important person. It's the Lord. Behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. So the Lord is building a house of prayer and praise and thanksgiving, an eternal mansion, an eternal great temple that as we come and believe in Jesus, we become part of. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, well, it's good. It's a good answer, wasn't it? Yeah. Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. And we know the plumb line is something that's dead straight, isn't it? It measures something. If you don't build a wall with a plumb line, you end up with a wonky wall. And the Lord says in somewhere in Psalms, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. That means everything's gone wrong. Everything's not working. Nothing is straight anymore. Everything's crooked. And it was like that since man rebelled against God and turned his back on God right at the beginning. And now God says, I'm setting a plumb line, something straight, right in the midst of my people. And we know that plumb line is Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is the plumb line. He is the only righteous man who has ever lived. Glory to his wonderful name. The only one whose heart has been true and straight and pure and delightful to God right from infancy through to the day when he gave his life as a sacrifice for sins for all of us, for every one of us here in this room and the whole of mankind. And Jesus came and did that for you and me. He lived such a beautiful life and then they killed him. We killed him with our sins and our wickedness. But God said, I'm setting a plumb line in the midst of my people. Even though he will die, yet he will live again. Hallelujah. And God raised Jesus from the dead. So turn over, if you're in Amos, to chapter 9. And we're going to get to where we started with those verses that Gemma kindly read to us earlier in a moment. Amos chapter 9 and verse 11. On that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it, as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does this thing. Prophetic voice of Amos. It's a wonderful book to read. God saying that he will rebuild the tabernacle of David. Now that tabernacle was the tabernacle that David raised up on Mount Zion. You can read about that in 2 Samuel 6:17. David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Mount Zion, to the tent that he had pitched there, and that was the place where God was worshipped before the temple was built. Psalm chapter 2 verse 6 says, "Behold, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion." Okay, so the picture, the tabernacle of David is on Mount Zion. God's king is on Mount Zion. Isaiah chapter 16. This is 40 years after Amos. Isaiah 16. And verse 5. And the Lord is giving a promise. Verse 1 it says, "Send the lamb to the ruler of the land." Hallelujah. And verse 5, Isaiah 16 verse 5, "In mercy the throne shall be established, and one will sit on it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness." One will sit on the throne. Is Jesus sitting on the throne of your heart this morning? Jesus, that's where he wants to come. He wants to come and reign in us. Not only over us, but reign in us. There's a difference there, isn't there? If somebody reigns over you, kind of you can submit and say, "Oh yeah, you're the king and you are our liege lord," and so on. But it can be just be mouthing words. But when Jesus reigns in us, it's for real. It's him on the throne of our lives. And that's where he wants to be. And reign, when he's on the throne of our lives, he reigns in mercy there. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. Jesus, he's full of mercy, full of love, full of kindness. His mercy is unto everlasting on those who fear him. Glory to his wonderful name. So if you don't know Jesus today, run to him. He's got his arms are wide open. He's waiting to receive you. If you don't know him today, just run to Jesus and you'll find him full of mercy, full of compassion, full of everything you've ever desired. He's better than your best dreams ever. Hallelujah. Isaiah 56. And here we come into the Longcroft. Okay? Isaiah 56. Please bear with me. We'll get to where we're going. Okay, Isaiah 56, verse 6. "Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants." The sons of the foreigner, that's you and me if we're not Jewish this morning. "And to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain." Hallelujah. "To the tabernacle of David, and make them joyful in my house of prayer." Are you joyful? Do you know what it is to be joyful in the house of prayer? Yeah? "My house shall be a house of prayer for all the nations." It's written there in the Longcroft. Glory to God's wonderful name. Hallelujah. That's his global outreach. God is reaching out to all the nations, and he wants you and me to be joyful in his house of prayer this morning. Praise his wonderful name. Oh, sometimes the seas of life are very turbulent and they're full of sorrow. But God is with us in all circumstances, situations and conditions of our life. And his son has already passed through the vicissitudes of life in a marvelous way. And he came through victorious, came through unstained, came through sinless, and he came through raised from the dead. And the life we receive from him today is his risen life. Since Jesus was raised from the dead, he pours out that life from his throne, from the tabernacle of David. Glory to God. Hallelujah. "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says this. Yes, I will gather to him. Yes, others besides those who are gathered to him." And you find that John more or less repeats that verse in his gospel, where the Lord is talking about the shepherd who will gather his sheep into one flock. There'll be one flock, one shepherd. And so if we go to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. And we read there, James is giving a speech. There's been a Barney with Barnabas and Saul between some brethren. That I would have loved to have heard what that argument was like, wouldn't you? I bet it was, well, I love the Bible. It says there was no small dissension. In other words, wow, yeah, they went for it, hammer and tongs. But I'm sure it was all graciously spoken and so on. But anyway, only the Lord knows that, doesn't he? Okay, so James is saying, Simon, Peter, has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles. That's Acts chapter 10, when God poured out his Spirit on the Gentiles, suddenly, completely unexpected, as Peter was preaching Jesus, suddenly the Holy Spirit was poured out on people with open hearts and who were ready to receive him, because they'd come as seeking the one true God, and they were there in the land and seeking God. I hope you're seeking God this morning, because if God says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it, hallelujah. After this, and to this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after this I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. There's a word missing from there that was in Amos, and it isn't in James, what in James's speech. Now, either James is misquoting the Bible, or else the Holy Spirit has rewritten something. The missing word is Edom. Amos talked about the remnant of Edom, and James says this is a reference to the whole of mankind who God is seeking to bring to himself. Hallelujah. I will rebuild the tabernacle of David. On Mount Zion, there was a literal Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the place where the King of Kings reigns. Hallelujah, our Lord Jesus. And every one of us who comes to him and yields to him our heart's allegiance, full surrender to the Lord Jesus, we are there with him in the tabernacle of David on Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. And he reigns as a priest on his throne. He's there to represent you and me before his Father in heaven. And Hebrews 7:26 says that the ministry which he exercises right now in heaven for you and me is that he's praying for us. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Jesus praying for you. Jesus praying for you. For me. For all of us this morning. Wouldn't you like to just hear how the Lord is praying? Yeah? Yeah. Hebrews 5 verse 8 said, in the days of his flesh he prayed with strong crying and tears. That's the way Jesus prayed. His heart was full out for his brethren. Hallelujah. Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, personal, not altogether. You, Peter, you are the one who needs prayer right now. Here I am, Lord. Amen. Yeah. Praise God, we have someone in our midst who lives very close to Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Praise God. God, this is no small thing, beloved, is it? This is no small thing. What God is doing now in your life and mine, he thought about from all eternity. Verse 18, Acts 15, verse 18, known unto God from eternity are all his works. He knew about you and me before time began, and somehow we were in his heart before time began, and here we are now in our generation. And he knows every detail of our lives, and he cares. He absolutely cares with a love that is pure and strong and purposeful for each and every one of us. So if we go now to Luke chapter 18, and we'll just pick up the story there where the Lord, in the light of all that, of what God was doing from eternity past to eternity future, he says this. People ought always to pray and not lose heart. That's the context of where we are. We're not just here on the Wirral, beloved, are we? We're not just here on the Wirral. We literally are here on the Wirral, of course, but we're in a context, an eternal context, where God is bringing together the nations for his glory, and you and I are part of that. Whatever our heritage, ethnic heritage might be this morning, we are part of what God is doing in that context. So, first of all, I would say, what must we pray for? We must pray for the nations. Jesus said, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Jesus is coming back when the gospels reach the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. And I think we're not far off that point. When we were in Cambodia, we lived in a province that was right up in the northeastern corner of Cambodia, where Cambodia meets Laos. And you could go into the forest there and you see the craters of the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And, but further on, if you went in, you found villages of people smaller than Cambodians living in the forest. And they were called Kavet. And, they were worshippers of trees and rivers and forests and created things. And they had no knowledge of Jesus. That was about, 10, 15 years ago. Now, among that group, people group of about 3,000 in Cambodia, there are at least 500 who are believers in Jesus today. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. One of the most precious experiences of my entire life was standing in a muddy river in Cambodia, baptizing Kavet believers in the name of Jesus. And the air was electric. You know, you could almost sense there was a whole host of angels over us rejoicing that this people who'd never heard of Jesus for centuries were coming to know him, and to know him as the one who loved them and has loved them with an everlasting love. Glory to his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, Jesus is reaching to the ends of the earth, and he uses people to do that. Maybe Jesus has put something in your heart for some end of the earth that nobody else has ever heard of, and he's saying, I want you to go there and be a witness for me in that particular place. Or maybe he's saying, I want you to pray for people in that particular place, because when you pray for people in a particular place, the darkness parts, the veil parts. God tears the veil away, and people begin to think, maybe there's a God out there. Maybe there's something beyond what I already know. Maybe this isn't what I think is life, isn't life after all. Maybe there's an eternal reality beyond this. We went to a place called Prakonchai, as many of you know, in Thailand. And we went there as the answer to somebody's prayers who'd prayed for years for a town called Prakonchai, where he'd never been in his life. And God sent us there in answer to his prayers. And the cries of the people, the hearts of people there who didn't yet know him and who now know him, praise his wonderful name. Pray for the nations. We must pray for the nations. We must pray for the nation of Israel. Pray that God will take the veil away. Pray that God will turn many to righteousness in these days, and they will find their true king, the one who they've missed for so many generations. But now, maybe now is the time when God is going to turn hearts to Jesus. Hallelujah. Pray for John and Lindsay as they live there and serve the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. So here we are. Here's this wonderful story. It's a parable. It's a story. Okay? Jesus giving a demonstration of something that's a hidden spiritual reality. And there's this judge who did not fear God or man. And there was a widow who just kept on coming. Well, she kept on coming because there was no social security. There was no place for her to go. Maybe she had no children. And maybe her land was being stolen by powerful men in the town. And so she went to the judge. Get justice, please. Can I have justice against my adversary? Well, we all have an adversary, don't we? We all have an adversary. And sometimes we wonder why our prayers are not being answered. Well, there's an adversary. And his whole intention is to get in the way of what God wants to do. Maybe in your life, or in someone you love, someone you know about, and they're far from God, and God wants to get a way in. And the way in is, he's got to get the adversary out of the way first.
Apollyon is the destroyer. He wants to destroy people's lives. But Jesus came to save us, to restore in us an image of God, the God, the man and the woman who God created in the beginning, but greater than that, because the image of Jesus is being formed in us as we walk with him and surrender our lives to him. And so there's the adversary. That can be one reason why your prayers have not yet been answered. God answers every true prayer. Okay? I want to say that God answers every true prayer of our hearts. There is not one prayer that he does not answer. We all know that at the beginning of our Christian life, people say, well, the Lord will either say yes, no, or wait. And that's true. And if you ask the Lord, Lord, should I do this, do that, go here, go there, he might say yes, no, wait. Yeah? Wait for wisdom, wait for the right time. His time is always right. Glory to his name. So she said, could I have justice from my adversary? And he wouldn't for a while, this judge. And then he thought to himself, if I don't fear God or regard man, but she's bothering me. I'm just going to... I really need a break from this. Anyway, so, yes. Okay. And he gave the justice. Now, what does Jesus want us to learn from this? Firstly, God is not anything like the unjust judge. Yeah. Okay, that's the first lesson. God is nothing like him, all right? God is always willing. His door is always open. We can always go knocking at God's door. His door is never shut against us. But there are times when we have to knock and knock and knock. I think it was Lilius Trotter who says her door in Morocco was the door of 1,000 knocks, when people, usually young women, came seeking salvation in Jesus. And it's a wonderful story you can read about. God's door has more than 1,000 knocks, more than 1,000,000 knocks every day. And maybe God, why hasn't God answered my prayer? Maybe God has to do 1,000,000 things before he can answer your prayer. Maybe, or maybe 1,000,000,000 things before he can answer your prayer. Yeah, think about that one. Okay. Secondly, what does God want us to learn? He was on the widow's side. Exodus 22:22 says, do no harm to the widow or the fatherless. Wow, what a word from God. That was God who created the heavens and the earth and all mankind, telling his people, do no harm to the widow or the fatherless. I am on their side. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Just have a quick look there. And you'll find in Jesus is just walking along the road. And he's going past a village called Nain. And he comes near the gate of the city. And they're carrying out a coffin. The coffin is open and there's a dead man inside. And he was the only son of his mother. In other words, she had nowhere to turn. No resource in life, nothing, no one to depend on. Jesus knew that. And he saw the large crowd coming with her, and they'd all be weeping and wailing, of course. And when the Lord saw her, verse 13, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Oh, our Lord is brilliant, isn't he? He just steps in at the right moment. And maybe your heart is weeping this morning. Jesus says to you, do not weep. If you love me, do not weep. Be of good courage. It is I. Fear not. And Jesus wept with those who wept when he went to Lazarus's tomb. He weeps with us in our sorrows, and yet he lifts us up out of our sorrows, and in our sorrows he carries us in his bosom. He shall carry the lambs in his arms, Isaiah said. So Jesus, when he saw her, he had compassion. His heart just moved out to her. And then he came and touched the coffin and said, young man, I say to you, arise. And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. Oh, what an amazing miracle Jesus did there. God is not unwilling to give. God is never reluctant to answer us. But sometimes he tells us we have to bear long. Okay, we have to bear long. Shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long, though it takes a long time for the answer to come? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Okay, in God's economy, it's speedily, whatever the time feels like to us. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find the faith on the earth? The faith. There's an article there, and it's like when Paul says in Galatians, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Will Jesus find our hearts full of faith and expectation that he is going to take us further with him? Is your heart in faith this morning that Jesus wants to take you further than you've ever been before? Hallelujah. That he has the plans and purposes for us that maybe we've never yet dreamed of. I was born in the town where Marmite comes from. Just think of that. And I was a hometown boy. Exactly, exactly. Thank you for that word of truth. As a kid, I hated it. As a grown-up, I have different tastes. Okay, I like it. Especially on hot toast. Anyway, yeah. And then the Lord took me and Ruth and planted us in Asia. And Thailand, Cambodia, India, country in the Himalayas. A few other countries here and there. Who could do that but God? Who could do that but God? If we put our lives in his hands and surrender to him and say, Lord, we're available. I'm only a clay pot and I'm a crack pot at that. But Lord, I'm here for you. Hallelujah. Last weekend we were at the golden wedding anniversary of a dear friend in Birmingham. We've known them for 50 years and his wife is blind. She was blind from the age of 14. He married her when she was blind. And he knew what he was doing. And he loves her. He loved her then and he loves her now. And together they've been prayer partners for us throughout our time overseas. They couldn't go themselves, but they devoted themselves to prayer. Okay, Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay steadfastly praying. Don't get weary. Don't get weary, okay? Don't faint. The idea is either faint or you get lazy. Okay, and we're all tempted to do that, aren't we? We have an adversary who, when we're thinking about praying, loves to send us to sleep and so on. Hallelujah. So God does, God says, don't get weary. Luke chapter 11. Jesus said, here's another one about prayer. And you know these, so I'm not going to say very much, but you remember somebody comes banging on the door at midnight saying, lend me three loaves. I need three loaves. Why three? Well, one for me, one for my guest, and one in case he eats a lot more than I expected him to eat. Okay. I always remember being in a small country in the Himalayas, and my friend and I arrived in this town at 4 o'clock in the morning, and the room of the guest house was locked, so he banged on the door. I've never heard anybody bang on the door like that certain brother did. He could have woken the whole town and probably did. Anyway, he banged on the door. And that's what God says we must do in our praying. We must bang on the door. We can't bang loud enough, I'm sorry. We must bang on the door. Be shameless in our coming to God. Be bold. Come with holy boldness. Don't hang back. Come and bang on the door. And he says, okay, it's not that the problem isn't giving. The problem isn't in giving the loaves. The problem is getting the man up out of his bed. Now the Lord is never asleep, we know that. But there are things that we know nothing about which get in the way of God responding to our prayers. And God says, keep persisting. Don't give up. Keep on going. Knocking at God's door day by day. Okay, remember there was a man called Moses. You probably remember Moses. And he was bold to ask forgiveness for the people of Israel, 2 million of them or so. And he said, God, please forgive them this sin of making a golden calf and calling it their God. There is only one God. Hallelujah. There's a verse in, just want to say one thing, but just in passing, there's a verse in 1 John chapter 2, and it says, if anybody denies the Son, they do not have the Father. There's a word for our times. That any religion, any cult, anybody who denies the death and resurrection, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and his resurrection from the dead 3 days later, anybody who denies Jesus, the deity and humanity of Jesus, does not have the Father. So don't let them say, we also have one God, the same God. We don't. The God we serve is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. I was in a conversation earlier last week when somebody was trying to tell me their God is the same as our God. He couldn't speak much English and I couldn't speak any Bengali, so we didn't get very far in the conversation. But the truth is there. There is only one God, and his name is Jesus Christ. The name of our God is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was born as a man by a virgin called Mary, lived a perfect life, sinless life, and then God raised him from the dead after he sacrificed himself for our sins. So going back to Moses, he was bold, and he asked forgiveness, and God said to Moses, now let me alone. Now let me alone. God said that to a man. Don't hang on to me. I want to wipe out this people and I want to make a new people from you. Let me alone so I can do it. Moses didn't let God alone, as we know. What an incredible thing that God should put himself and in a sense at our disposal. That's why Jesus said we should always pray and not grow weary. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Let's stop.